Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris. It's not even 6:02, and I don't care. I don't care. How about that? It is 6:02? Nine says 6:01 right here. Joe's saying it's 6.
Well, I guess Joe says 6:02.
Hold on. No, mine still says 6:01. So whatever.
Is that a work computer?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I think mine's counting backwards. Hold on. Yeah, it's a work computer.
It just seems like it's taking forever.
Oh, wow. I was saying to Ed, and I don't feel well this morning, like a little off, like ill. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to him, I said, this is just one of those days where it's like, oh, I don't want to work. I don't want to do this, especially with the Orioles being bad. And I don't mind admitting that because I still come to work even when you feel that way. And then it's like, I said to him, I said, usually those end up being the best shows because something goes off the rails and we wind up talking about something we're not supposed to or didn't.
Oh, let's hope so.
Believe we would. But I mean, Orioles lose again last night. Is that what you want to talk about? Ed, do you want to talk about Sinners? We watched Sinners yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It was the fourth time I've seen that movie. I love that movie.
I find hilarious that you're willing to watch it again.
What do I do? If I like something, it's so weird. If I like a food, I'll have it over and over again, but not consecutively. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I went to a restaurant and I liked something a lot, I'll get it every time I go in and I won't try anything else.
Yeah, but I got to say, it was good. First, thanks for having me over.
Yeah.
I always have fun coming over to the
I let him pick anything off compound, the top shelf and
get the best whiskey he doesn't drink ever.
Just don't drink
it. I got some Jefferson Reserve yesterday. It's like,
maybe I'll get back to drinking when I go to Ireland because I'm going to have to there.
But it was fun. That movie was good. Yeah. I was surprised. I didn't realize it was a horror flick when it first came out. Not that it matters. I just didn't know. I thought it was something else. I thought it was a crime drama.
My wife won't watch horror films. Well, she will if I like, hey, I love horror films. I love scary movies, whatever. I don't like ghost movies, like poltergeist and crap, because I don't believe in it. And I'm watching and go, ooh.
Oh, you believe in vampires?
No. But at least they're more entertaining. Ooh. Everybody. I just don't. Like when what is it? What's the latest one that's come out? The Conjuring? Some of the Conjurings were good and they keep doing them and they're supposed to be based on real stories. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, show me the visible evidence of all this stuff that went on in this movie with someone crawling out of the wall and all the other things that are going on. It's like, did that really happen or did you hear a creak and you got scared?
But then you got things like the Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
I mean,
where people swear.
I think different people moved out of that house.
Now, that's based on a true story.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And also,
the sequels weren't.
State Police Headquarters in Pikesville.
Uh-huh.
Troopers swear it's haunted and not fooling around. Like, people swear have worked because it's got to be manned 24/7. But that was the Confederate soldiers' retirement home. You know, and you see there's pictures in there of like old Confederate vets sitting on their rocking chairs out there, and like that's what it was. And they swear people walk the halls there at night.
So I'm the guy that my aunt loves these places and finds like apparently there's a bunch in Havity Grace. Like there was an old hospital that's now something, and they swear there's people walking the halls. And I told her, I said, look, get me a room stay for one night. I'll go in there. And if I see something and get scared to death, I'll admit it and tell you, hey, I've changed my mind. Yeah. But it doesn't affect.
It's one of those things like, I'll believe when I see proof. I don't want to see proof. I don't. I don't want to know.
I was watching some joke this morning where they're going around and like the little girl used definitely in a sentence. And it's like, the sky is definitely blue. And she's like, no, it's not definitely blue. It could be gray. It could be whatever, you know, cloudy. The grass is always green. Well, sometimes the grass is dying and it's brown. And then they get the little Johnny. Why is little Johnny the one that always has the dirty
little Johnny?
Little Johnny, and it'd be like being in that hospital. It's like, Johnny, you have one? Yeah. He goes, do farts have lumps? Nope. Well, then I definitely crap my pants just now. At least it worked in a sentence, but that's what it would be like if you did see some sort of spirit poltergeist, chicken?
Yeah.
Poltergeist. But yeah, like the thing with the vampire, like if you were watching Sinners and you didn't know it was a vampire flick.
I didn't.
It's like almost getting in and you're like, this is a really cool. And you're like, well, that was an interesting turn. Where's this thing going?
Yeah, because I didn't know it was. Even when I read the summary, it said something about, you know, like gangster brothers, twins return to their hometown to find a more supernatural evil. I'm like, I don't know
what that could be.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was wondering.
But the other part of that, too, is like, as you're looking at that movie, I said something to Ed about, you could almost say it's akin to a musical because there's so much music in it and performance in it. And you said, is it like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I said, that's a perfect example of it, where it's not, they're not singing the entire time, but there's all kinds of song in it.
And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou was based on the Odyssey,
right? Yeah.
And but there was so many different parts to it.
John Goodman was the Cyclops, right? Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Right. All this crazy stuff that was involved in that. And music, you know, with Man of Constant Sorrow, of course. Yeah. But what do you think, FDS says, what do you think I listened to the entire way home over and over?
Did you,
Rocky Road to Dublin.
Rocky Road to Dublin. I thought it was Going Back to Dublin, but I'm glad you told me that because I want to download it. Yeah.
You're going to like it in Ireland. I'm telling you, because just so you know, when you go, like if you take a train or in public transportation, I recommend you get on a train if you can. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. It's not like here.
So can I tell you?
Going through the back alleys of cities.
My buddy Larry gets erections thinking about trains. And you think he loves so trains.
Right. Oh. Me too.
You guys really want to touch tips and watch trains? Like,
that's not out of question. But it's interesting because you think Ireland is, you know, when they give the instructions, it's all in Irish. They speak Gaelic first, which is impossible to understand. And then they speak in English. So it's just cool. And then I think you're going to get into the whole thing.
I'm excited because like.
Some of you have Irish blood in you, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, most of
you. Yeah, my grandmother. So like you think of the Khan last name and it's funny because there are certain people who go, hey, are you Jewish? And I'm like, no. As I said, I shouldn't even be a Khan. I should be a Skaggs. But my grandmother was Irish, red hair, everything, you know, just like her last name was Lambert. But with the Khan thing, like it was funny because everybody's like, oh, Billy Khan was a great Irish boxer. Yeah. And that's true. Like, hey, are you related to him? And I'm like, sure.
Yes.
I don't know any other ones. Yeah.
I'm going to stop saying no when people ask me if related to Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
I literally get it a couple times a month whenever making a reservation is like, no, I wish I was. From now on, yes. He's in his 80s. I'm my 60s. He could be my father.
Yeah, No, I'm not related to Chuck Norris, but I am related to Ed Norton.
So. Yes.
No. It is funny, though, like to kind of look at it. I got sent the picture of where we're staying, at least initially, because I think when we go to Northern Ireland, obviously we're staying somewhere else. It's not like a day trip.
You're going
to
see what a stark difference that is, too.
Yeah. So I can't wait. But it's funny because the Mumford & Sons first album, Sigh No More, where it's like the townhomes on the front.
Yeah.
Where we're staying looks almost like the front cover of their album. So yep. I'm kind of curious to see. I love seeing what life is like in other countries and how people live.
It's cool.
I do. Like even going in the U.S. to some of the areas where you're like, man, this is weird living. Like what the hell? You ever been to one of those small ass towns that have like two restaurants in it, if you're lucky? And then they close at like 7 o'clock at night. Because that was the thing that people were telling me about Ireland is that the pubs close at like 9 p.m. And that if you want to go out and drink later in the night, you got to go to a club or a disco.
That's true. Because I went to England before I went to Ireland. England was the first European country I went to. And it's like, I'm expecting like this. And London's a great town. It's a beautiful. I mean, I love London. The history there is amazing. And you like it. You'll like it.
Thank you. Thank you for everything. Sorry.
But they close early. Like, the streets roll in London. Like, it's not like New York City, you know, where it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I want Indian food. Okay. So, you know, go there.
Oh, yeah. And to what you're saying, too, like, if you're watching the London nightlife thing, it really looks like, I mean, they're so scantily clad women dressed going out for the night. Like, there's all kinds of, if you're on social media, you'll see it with the women. Like, look at this. Look at this London, all these women walking around, going to the clubs, dressed to the nines. And I'm sure, like, look, it's a lot like that in every place.
I want the ones dressed to the sevens.
See, that's what...
It's more realistic.
Yes. Well, what about me? What am I dressed to? The twos? I'm dressed to the twos.
You think I'd give that the mints in the bathroom?
I probably ate them all.
Actually, they're better dressed. They should have ties on, so jackets and ties.
I'm the guy out front with the cup asking for change. Well, hey, look, we're going to talk sports. The Orioles found a way to, I mean, they tied it up with the Cedric Mullins bomb, which helped. Yeah. And then, of course, said, yeah, we're not ready to end this losing streak. So they make it seven. It's just, it's a tough watch, man. And it's like guys that you know are good and you don't have any confidence in any of them right now.
No.
No, like Jackson Holliday is playing unbelievable. And if you look at the numbers, people do this all the time when they start taking where you started your hot streak and they show you the numbers during it. And I get why you do it. I mean, his OPS was approaching 1,000 going back to like 2 weeks or something. It's the one bright spot this season. And maybe you throw Tommy in there as well. But man,
I mean, it's just, it's
getting late early.
It's getting late early. Yeah. It really is. And then like, I don't know.
The Orioles are now like national news. Everybody is talking about them.
And Laureano tears the cover off the ball last night.
Yeah, gets it started.
And a home run, and it's the three hits. Mm. But it's just like, Laureano. I liked him with the A's. I don't remember him with the Braves much.
Well, because what happened was with the A's, everybody was talking about, he had that bang-up season with the bat, and he comes out, and he's got the strongest arm in baseball, and you're seeing him just unleash it. You're like, good God, how did that get there?
Yeah.
And he's stealing bases. You're like, oh, this is going to be a superstar. And then an injury and like a down season. And all of a sudden it's like, well, we're no longer going this route with Laureano. Let's look at some of our younger outfielders. And much like a lot of people do, Eddie Rosario went down there and reworked his career. You have guys that go to Atlanta for some reason and just kind of catch fire.
Yeah.
Maybe not catch fires right word. They get the chance. They're in a good lineup.
Yep. Yeah.
And then they get themselves an opportunity. And Laureano, I mean, keep swinging the bat, become a trade candidate. You're not going to get much for him. But, and I do want to talk about, we're going to get into it at some point. I heard what Jim Bowden said. It's just one of the dumbest things ever. I'll bring it up in the next segment talking about the Orioles, but we're going to go to the Orioles Brewers recap. You guys want to call in 410-583-1057. We're going to take your calls on that. Kind of talk about last night's game and what went wrong. I feel like we say that every single day. We'll be back right after this.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Terang at second. Contreras, ground ball. It sneaks through. It got under Henderson's glove. He was oh so close. It's head-scratching time in the eighth as Contreras is 4-for-4, and the Brewers are back in front.
Oof, what are you going to do? Another loss, another one-run loss, another way to lose a game. Cedric, remember when Cedric was the hero at the Grand Slam, and then they lost that game? And then Cedric was the hero last night with the three-run shot.
And they lost the game.
And then they lost the game. Let me see, who's pitching tonight? And then they lost the game. It's just, it feels like that's what we're going to say almost every effing day we come in.
Yes.
Because they just keep losing.
Yeah, well, pretty much, if you like, you could say, you know, Laureano was a hero last night.
Yeah.
And they lost the game. It's like, you're going to get that over and over.
It's just infuriating to watch this team now, and it's easier to make business decisions at night. Oh, you got a nice little t-shirt here, Ed. Yeah. Who sent that to you? Was that your wife?
No. I can't read the return address.
So you want me to read it on the air?
No.
Okay, sorry.
But it's like someone, thank you, whoever sent me this Alfa Romeo t-shirt.
Yeah, send him an email to let him know it was you.
There's no note or anything.
Is it? Okay, you just got your shirt in the mail. You got to be, we always worry, like when you, there's always things that come to the radio station that are handwritten.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in these big envelopes. Like somebody, he has to be listening, sent like a 10-page handwritten front and back letter. I think Bruce Cunningham got one. I know I got one.
I used to get them all the time.
You get them. It's just, it's like, hey, I got mail. Oh, should I be worried? Does somebody else want to open this? Is there any powder in it? Like, it's crazy, man. But anyway, you do like getting gifts. Alfa Romeo shirt. That's nice. So back to the whole point in Milwaukee, the Orioles get an afternoon game tomorrow. It's just frustrating because, like, again, you just got swept by the Nats, who, I don't know if you guys know this, aren't a good team.
Right.
And then you go to Milwaukee and lose the first one. They're not a good team. But what are the Orioles now? Like, we kept talking about, we got to get some of these easy teams on our schedule. What are people saying when they see the Orioles?
I think the Orioles, they look like a team that's in a rebuild. They look that bad. And they're not. They look like a team that sold everybody. They have nobody left. Like, you know, like we've seen the A's do when the Astros when they did it, and the White Sox when they did it, and all these teams that did this. And, they're going to be bad. That's it. You just got to, muscle through it. No! This is the same crew. Like, yeah. The same people won 102 games the last two seasons. 192, excuse me. Yeah.
Well, I was telling you with Jim Bowden, he was on, he does stuff with MLB Network, former general manager, what with the Nats. They were posting him talking about the Orioles, and he had made the statement saying that he believed that they should blow up the whole thing and trade some of these pieces to get about 10 to 12 prospects back. Which pieces are you talking about? You want them to trade the guys that are established that have 4 and 5 years left before you even have to even look at arbitration?
Yeah.
Or have to, I shouldn't say arbitration, before you have to look at trying to sign them, and you want to move those guys on for guys that may be guys that do this? And again, I'm not saying, the position you're in. The one weird thing about the Orioles, if we honestly talk about it, what are they going to look next year pitching-wise? How's it going to look? Because in my opinion, Grayson Rodriguez, I think he's going to have Tommy John at some point. I don't have any inside information. I haven't even seen his medicals. The way they talk about it sounds exactly like how they talked about Garrett Cole last year. And what's he doing? Sitting at home after Tommy John surgery. So whether it's inevitable that it happens, the rumors that Zach Eflin doesn't, that he would rather go back to Florida, that may be all made up or whatever. You offer him the right contract and he wants to stay. But that's the rumor. We mentioned Sagano, a one-year deal. Bradish is coming back, but he is coming back off of an injury.
Yes.
What's your rotation going to look like next year without making moves? They might even have to make a move at this trade deadline to get a pitcher that's under contract.
And I get it, but it kind of sucks that we're already talking about next year.
How do you not?
I know. How do you not? It's like, man, 15 games and now 16 games on the 500.
It's just been a rough watch, man. I just like, you turn the game on and you're going, what are they swinging at? What was that? You get first and second, one out, no outs. You're like, how are they going to screw this up? Oh, that's how. And it sucks watching a baseball game waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, okay, they're going to lose. And you hear the negative people that were saying this all year long, and they're all telling you how right they were, pounding that drum. But, hey, you get to do it because look at them. They just look terrible right now. I even heard some people were posting potential trades. Who says no? Talked about trading with the Phillies and getting their young pitcher that just came up and threw a gem. Mick Abel, yeah. I just picked him up on my fantasy team. I think he's their second best pitching prospect, the Phillies. You know what? I don't even want to get down that path. Like, it's still the middle of the damn season and talking about next year and whatnot. It sucks.
Wow.
And then last night you go and you're looking at facing a Milwaukee team. Like, I thought it was going to be good for these guys to get on the road and just get away from home. Same thing. Same stuff continues to happen. So I think it will be an interesting trade deadline. It makes you wonder who's going to make it through the season. Like, how long can you continue this? Like, do they get a win and it's not as bad as it was before? This isn't me saying they make a run to the postseason, but like, you can't keep having 7-game losing streaks like against inferior opponents.
2-8 and out of 10, 9 out of 11, you lose. And then I just went down a little rabbit, a shallow hole. I just looked up the 10 best catchers in baseball right now. So from heading into 2024, Adley was number one. William Contreras was number five. You can't even compare them right now.
Yeah, well, and Contreras started off awful too.
Yes, he's only about 258 now. But
well, that's because he was hitting below 200 to start off.
But he's about 258 now, so he got his act together. Like, Adley still hasn't. And like, what are we doing? He was voted the best catcher in baseball by MLB.com.
Yeah,
better than Real Muto and all these guys and Contreras and.
Well, this is what he said. So I went on Glenn Clark's show yesterday, and I was talking about. The fact that, when you look at what's going on with the team and people keep talking about analytics and this and that, I thought what Bordy said yesterday, that they're too analytical. There's a difference between saying, I hate analytics and a team's too analytical, or I don't believe in the analytics. What do you mean you don't believe in information. Like, that's, I don't know how many times I have to say it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just info. You use it how you see fit. Like, for example, in football, Harbaugh is going to get to a point and he's going to look at what the chart says. Like, hey, what are the percentages if I go for it here against not getting it? And, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh, wait a minute. It's 58% or it's 55%. We're on this field. It'll give them a short, you know, like there's times that you look at those things and when to go for two and all that. Baseball, it gets a little bit more deeper because how many times have we talked about how hard these guys are hitting the ball and it's right at somebody. And this is where I love the analytical stuff. People are like, yeah, I hate analytics because that's stupid. Well, that guy that was standing there that caught the ball was standing there because of analytics. It works both ways. I mean, it's just information that you use. So you can use it how you see fit. All right, we're going to take some phone calls, 410-583-1057. A lot being talked about David Rubenstein and Mike Elias. Do you find it concerning that we haven't heard from either of them by now? Does it even matter? Is it much ado about nothing? I want to hear from you, 410-583-1057 right here on The Fan.
If I were the GM, I would be hiring outside the organization to bring in a different voice, a different approach, a non-biased opinion. And whether that's a proven guy like Skip Schumacher, who won Manager of the Year with the Marlins, or whether it's A.J. Pruszynski, who brings that edge that clubhouse could use, to me, you had to bring in somebody outside.
That's Jim Bowden talking about that. Is that foul territory? Yeah, he's on foul territory there. The other thing, so, by the way, I'm not sitting here trying to pound on Jim Bowden because I thought some of the things he said is true. He had told, there was one clip of him saying he told Mike Elias that it's not about who you fire, it's about who you hire next to replace him, because everybody will forget the last guy if mm-hmm. the next guy's good. And he just said you need somebody with a different voice. One of the three guys that he brought up when he was talking about it was Joe Maddon. Who is Joe Madden's right-hand man? Brandon Hyde.
Yes, right.
He does the same exact thing, so why would you even say that guy's name if you're looking for something different? Is it just because he's more established and he's been around the block? Skip Schumacher, he's right, had an amazing season with the Marlins. And then they turned into the Marlins again. So, and he wasn't around. I don't know. I don't know which route they end up taking. We know it's not going to be Manzolino at the end of the year. No matter how much better they play from here till then, that they have to find somebody. And you would expect it to be somebody established. You heard him say A.J. Pierzynski. Ironically, doesn't he work on that podcast? you heard him bring up some other names there, like... I heard Joe Girardi was another name that was brought up on yeah. one of the things that he said, like, could be the next manager. I agree with him that it matters more about the guy you hire next than actually firing the guy mm-hmm. because if he's good, nobody's going to care that you let go of him. And I don't think most people care anyway, Ed. I feel bad for him. It wasn't all his fault.
Oh, you mean care about Hyde?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look... I'm trying to remember managers who stepped down because it was time. Usually you get hired, you get fired. That's how it goes. I mean, yeah. you get a run, it could be one season, it could be seven seasons, whatever. As a Harbaugh, unusual too. Like, as long as he's been here, what, 18 years or something?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm just saying, you're right. But whoever they hire next...
Is Mike Elias going to be the guy hiring him?
Yeah, and like, what's it going to do for the team? Like, I still don't believe this is really Hyde's fault.
It's not.
You know, it's like... I don't know what he could have done better. I mean, you can question some of the lineup cards and things like that, but okay. He's still not the guy who's, you know, batting .202.
Yeah, this whole thing's still terrible. Like, there's, again, outside of looking at Jackson Holiday, there's not a lot of bright spots, but let's go out to a phone caller. Jimmy's in Baltimore. Jimmy, what's up, man?
Hey, Jeremy and Ed, great to hear your voice. Love your show.
Thanks, man.
I just wanted to say this ain't over, man. Don't start throwing out babies and bathwater and all that. It's all going to be okay. They're showing heart. They're playing hard, and you know, it ain't as bad as it seems sometimes.
Hey, Jimmy, they've lost seven in a row, man. The pitching's not good. The hitting's not good. But you still think they're going to put it together?
Just even the way you're saying it. I mean, yeah, the hitting's not good, but on the bright side, the pitching stinks. I think they're just one crack away from straightening it all out. Look at it. Cano comes in last night after Mullins ties it up, and he only walks one guy. He's getting better.
This guy's like bright side. Blue sky, Jimmy, or bright side, Jimmy.
Bright side. Right. Mr. Brightside over here. Dude, he might even
They're a negative 86 point differential. They're not just losing. They're getting slaughtered. I mean, it's the worst point differential in the American League, second worst in baseball after the Rockies, who are just, I mean, it's like a double-A team right now. I don't know what you're watching.
slaughtered anymore.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, man, it's nice to have somebody that has some positivity, but man, you got some blinders on, in my opinion here. But,
well, look, you know, Adley, right?
Yeah.
You know, he hit the ball. He's been hitting the ball his whole life. He's having a little slump. You know, I saw one of them commercials for that Blue Chew stuff where the guy was, he was, you know, having some problems. He was up at bat. He wasn't swinging very well. You know, the metaphor, he took some Blue Chews and his wife was like watching him hit the ball. She was all happy. Why don't we just get him some Blue Chews? Made Jackson Holliday's dad is a batting coach. He'll be a happy guy.
Yeah, it's God. Well, Jimmy, appreciate the phone call. That's Brightside Jimmy.
We got him with Greg and Columbia together.
Hard hits with hard ons is what he wants.
That's
I guess.
Basically it. Yeah. who's got the Blue Chew endorsement now? Is it Haney?
Haney's got it.
I
got
to talk to him.
Yeah. Well, I got so much of that stuff for the longest period of time that I was bringing it in, and I gave it to the guys, and he's like, you do realize you gave me expired Blue Chew. I said, well, hell, that's how much I have.
Probably still work.
Probably. Let's grab another call here. Kevin's in Ellicott City. Kevin, you're on the fan.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up? Do you think the Orioles are getting back into it?
No, sir. I think they're just taking the belt to the backside, just in all fashions, to be honest. I mean, David Rubenstein, he did an awesome thing. He bought this team and kept it a Baltimore-owned team. It's hard to really point the finger at him, but we all know that he gave Mike Elias full control of this team, and unfortunately, he just got way too deep in the water on this one, fellas. This team ain't turning around like that.
No, I mean, look, you can't flip a switch with it. And then if you were going to look for something to kind of spark them, it's... You know, maybe they should fire the manager or something, Ed. Maybe that'll get them going. Like, fire Tony Manzolino today and just say, hey, this ain't cutting it either. Just keep firing guys.
That's what sucks about it. Like, when Hyde gets let go, if they had a three-game winning streak,
thanks,
people like,
call,
ah, there we go. Yeah. See, that's all it took. And then, you know, they go back. You know,
well,
it's like, it's everybody's like, it's got to be instant gratification. Like, what's happening right this second? Oh, they won two games in a row. See, it was Hyde.
But usually... I mean, maybe we just think that, like, it's the spark. You know, I talk about it comparing it to a technical foul where your coach is getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And does a technical foul help your team when the other team gets free throws? No, it doesn't. But what you're trying to do is light a fire.
It's fighting hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't help your team when, you know, you get a five-minute major. However, it does, you know, you see them all banging the sticks off the, you know, off the bench and, like, yeah, gets them all fired up.
Absolutely. All right, we got to step out. 410-583-1057. We've got more coming up. We're going to talk some Ravens. We're going to get to see the Orioles back again, shovels and all that and more. But Derrick Henry said he still feels like he's got a lot left in the tank. Do you find it possible that he's got a 1,000-yard season over the next two seasons? How much more do you think he can give? We talk about it next here on The Fan.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I'm just very grateful for this organization. You know, just like last year, coming off the season I had, you know, I wasn't really happy. And, you know, I wanted to prove myself and just get an opportunity. And they gave me that opportunity. And, you know, I'm very appreciative of how much, you know, they value me to give me an extension. And, you know, I just want to show them how much it means to me, how much this organization means to me by the way I work and what I do on the field.
That's Derrick Henry, of course, getting his extension. At his age, I mean, that's the big question. If he's a few years younger, nobody's talking about, hey, is it worth it? But after right. Saquon got what he got, and you saw what Derrick Henry did last year, and there's no reason to think that he's going to take a step back now when you're looking at the physicality. Because it's weird. Some of the bigger guys, those are the ones you usually see break down sooner. Like Eddie George was a big running back. He hit the wall and hit the wall hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is... It's odd, too, to look at some of these guys. Like, you can literally go from being... Remember Dalvin Cook was the number one running back in football at one point? And
yeah.
Then we were making fun of the Cowboys for picking him up.
Yeah.
And then the Ravens picked him up off the scrap heap. not that far removed from being that guy. It happens quickly.
And what do you do here?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I was a huge, seminal. Mm-hmm. Big fan of his.
Yeah.
He did nothing.
Just, and you look at his brother, James, wanting to get paid up there. And the Bills going, I saw what happened to your brother, man. I don't know if this is something we got to worry about. I just think Derrick Henry is a different animal here when it comes down to it. He takes unbelievable care of his body. But when you're a big upright runner, you take a lot of hits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to give a lot of punishment and receive it. And at some point, what typically happens is it gets harder and harder to heal. You know, like it takes longer and longer. And then that's when I always talk about the quality of life when you're playing and realizing what you can and can't do, those things. But look, I love the fact they signed him to an extension. I think when people are saying that running back's dead and the position doesn't matter, I understand it to a degree, and I'm not saying I totally disagree with it, but you have to look at certain circumstances and say, this guy doesn't fall into that mold. He's different. Mm-hmm. Because if you always do that, you're just going to pass up on running backs and think you can draft some guy in the fourth round and make it. And what happens when you look at the Cowboys last year? They had zero running game. Zero. And then you can't expect to win when you see that? Fraudulent. It's like your Knicks. But no, Ed, you got to be happy that he's coming back. Were you concerned at all at the money they gave him?
No.
Me either.
Absolutely not. I mean, are you kidding me? And look, I was like the only guy who was really happy he was coming. People were like, oh, he's great, but he's there, you know, he's probably, I don't know if he had anything in the tank. And I don't know what they were looking at because he was second in the NFL and rushing behind McCaffrey when he got here, you know, at that age. But I mean, I'm excited he came. He was exciting to watch. I cannot wait for this season with him. I don't wear jerseys anymore because I'm too flipping old. I may buy a Derrick Henry jersey.
Hey, why not? My favorite thing about Derrick Henry, though, and if you've followed him, you know this, just go look at his high school stats. Do you know what he did in 48 career games in high school? 4 years, varsity, all 4 years at Yulee.
Yeah.
He had 12,124 yards.
Really?
He averaged 8.7 yards per carry. That's 252.6 yards per game. He had 153 touchdowns. He had
153 touchdowns.
He had 55 touchdowns in his senior year and ran for 4,261 yards.
Yeah.
What is that? That can't be real. Like, that's, was he playing against middle school kids?
Well, I was thinking about it when you brought this in high school. It's that I couldn't imagine being like a linebacker in high school facing Derrick Henry. Like, okay.
They don't have it for his freshman year, but his long TDs. In 2010, his longest was 75. 2011, 90. 2012, 80. Like, here's his touchdowns, and tell me he didn't get better year after year. Like, in his freshman year, he ran for 2,465 yards and 26 touchdowns. That's a freshman in high school, guys. Like, think about when you were a freshman. Oh. I was a late bloomer, so I was 4'10" going into high school.
Really?
He'd have worn my ass like a cape. Hanging on to him. I mean, I was 140 pounds wet and wearing boots. Yeah. Not my freshman year. I'd say maybe when I started to mature a little bit, sophomore going into junior year. Yeah, I was all skin and bones. But you look at this, and then the next year, here it is. It got a little bit better. 2,788 as far as yards go and 38 touchdowns. And then he took a dip in the yards per game and the touchdowns. Went up at 34 touchdowns, 2,610. And as I said, his senior year. That looks like if I told you a quarterback in his senior year threw for 4,261 yards and 55 touchdowns, you would call me insane. A running back did that. How is that even possible? Anyway, I'll get away from this, but it is funny when you start going back through it and you look at his high school numbers, and then at Alabama, they just didn't, he had 28 touchdowns his last year at Alabama. When you see a player like that, I don't know how you pass him up if you need a running back, even in the first round. Like, if Ashton Jonte becomes what everybody thinks he can become, you're going to tell me that's not a difference maker? Was or was not Saquon Barkley a difference maker for the Eagles?
Difference maker? The very most important guy on the team.
See, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, again, I understand the running backs don't matter because of when you're talking about getting them in the draft and overpaying for them, but there are times that it will. So, and I think Derrick Henry is one of those guys, clearly. So I have no issue with what they did. And I think he can run for a couple more years. I'm not going to be shocked, though, if all of a sudden we start watching and it's like, all right, I think we know it's time now. Because most of the guys in this league have to be pulled off the field. Very few of them look at it and go, all right, it's time to go.
Yes.
And when you're Derrick Henry and you have as much success as you had last year, and if you have similar success next year, and he's going to have a nose for the end zone because of his size, I mean, he might end up having a career like Jerome Bettis, where at the end, he's a glorified touchdown runner. You know what I mean? Like, he's your goal line guy if he wants to do that. I don't know if he wants to be that. Mm-hmm. But we're not even close to that yet. I still think there's a lot of longevity here. Curtis Martin did it for a long time, so there are some exceptions to the rule.
It's a Jet.
And I think and a Patriot, right? Jet and Patriot.
It's unimportant.
Okay, sorry. Not important. This is crappy. Let me grab a phone call here real quick because he's been waiting patiently when I get him in. Chris is in Parkville. I know you want to talk O's, Chris. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, hey guys. How's it going?
Good.
Great show as always. I think with the Orioles, the way that the team was constructed and everything was just all about the youth movement. And I think it was much the same with the coaching. So I know the fellow that was the ultimate optimist that called him before singing Kumbaya and whatnot. That's appreciated. I get it. But it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because the
how much worse?
Yeah, I know. But the coaching, that's the whole thing. The one guy they should have stuck with until the very end was the one they got rid of. And Ed, you could speak to this. One day you come into work and it's like, yeah, you're the guy. You're the main guy. Everyone looks to you. You're in charge. You know?
Yes.
And I don't think he was prepared for that. I think you could speak to this more than anyone. And where do you go if it keeps trending the way it has been, which I believe it probably will.
And there's no reason to believe it won't. I mean, that's the problem. It's like you look at it and there is nothing I've seen that would give me optimism or push me to believe things are going to change anytime soon. It's not like, you know, everyone's just getting bad calls wrong. That may happen for a short time of bad luck.
Thanks, Chris.
You know, a couple of games, a week, 2 weeks. It doesn't happen for 2 months where, you know, just nobody's hitting. It's like this whole thing about exit velocity, hard hit balls right at people, and, you know, they're bad calls and ringing people up 6 inches off the plate and things like that. Okay, that's not what's happening. It's just there's no indication to me that says things are going to get better. I can see it. You see, they look good. They're playing well. It's just a matter of, they're losing to bad teams now. The Nationals and the Brewers are not good teams.
No. And look, if you're going through a season, if you're not 15 and whatever, you know, it's just so bad to look at it now. It looks like it's a nice shooting percentage for, you know, a guard, whatever the record is. But when you're going through these motions and you start to see some of the things that are happening, it's like you expect somebody to step up, somebody to be the guy. But then you also look at this team and go, full of young players. And the everyday players on this team are young players. It's a fact of the matter. Like, you know, if you're looking at the guys that you're going to rely on, everybody wants Gunnar to turn into the guy and be the leader. And I think there is that. I don't know how vocal he is behind the scenes. I don't even know if that matters as much in baseball. But hell, man, I'd be willing for a sacrifice right now. I'm not talking about a bunt. I'm talking about a human sacrifice at Camden Yards to see
start
if we can
goats.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know. Anyway. All right, hour number two is coming up. We're going to get to shovels coming up at 7:15. But up next, the NFL League will vote on today and tomorrow. What are they, in Minnesota, I believe, voting on this. Some big rule changes. Are they going to ban the tush push, reseeding in the playoffs? Do you think either one of those or both happen?
I can't wait to talk about that, actually.
410-583-1057. It's coming up next.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.